Now, this is the chance for discussion. Questions, answers, debate, argument. Coraline. Oh, yeah. So, does anyone have any questions? Bye-bye. Maybe that wouldn't be so good. I think how I see it is we do limit ourselves. Is the conditioning of the way we're culturally conditioned. You know, we have habits from after we're born. So then we tend to be limited to experiencing life through just reactions and fixed ways of looking. And as you then in the meditation, you're actually seeing how to get behind that, just the conditioning of your mind. So that opens up a lot of possibilities, you know. And whatever, you know, you're inclined to interest in the world, whatever, then that would, you know, it opens up that realm in a way that you can't do if you're just operating from the habitual attachments, because then you're getting perspective and you're seeing things in a way that isn't just fixed habits. And it can be frightening because, you know, it is, you're kind of it is a bit scary to let go of these habits, because they give us a sense of stability, and so we hang on to them because we're afraid of instability. But then as we see through that fear, then we welcome that. We find our stability in awareness rather than in trying to fix life through our delusions about it. In my brain, even, you know, probably only 5% of it works. Maybe even that's a boast, but it's enough problem to have even 5% ranting. But more like the, you know, then things develop, what you do, you know, whether like in the art world or something that's more intuitive than in the scientific world, is more rational. So you're developing different parts of your brain. And then the intuitive side tends to have been almost ignored, you know, in our civilization. And so much we've exalted so much the rational, the ability to think and reason. And then the intuitive world is a bit, you know, to the rational mind is a bit scary, because if you want things, you know, 2 and 2 is 4 kind of life, view of life, then suddenly in the intuitive sense, it doesn't. You're seeing it in a much broader way. So, and that can be emotionally threatening too. But as you, that's where this faith or trust in it, in awareness. I encourage that, because otherwise, you know, we're so highly programmed to a certain way of seeing everything. And the way we see ourselves, you know, and define ourselves. We're always limiting ourselves to the definitions we've acquired, you know, the boundaries that we identify with. So that's why it's so frustrating, is, you know, life, because you kind of fix yourself as a concept, and oftentimes can't see through it, get beyond it. So one's always kind of stuck with this sense of being inadequate or not good enough or whatever, and that can influence how we perceive everything in life. Now's the time, you know, challenges to perception, and where there's no, you know, everything's up for grabs, really. The modern world is where the kind of old institutions and the old systems are now thrown to the wind. And so, back in the 50s, you know, it was much more, you know, fixed about, you know, women had long hair, men had short hair. And I remember when the men started growing their hair long, and it really upset people in the States. A man, it really upset them, you know. They say, "What do you think, you're a girl?" And get really angry, because it's somehow challenging the perception, you know, man looks like this, woman like that. And then when those perceptions are challenged, you know, you're destabilizing, you're getting into insecurity. Because at least, you feel, I know this this seems right, and this makes me feel secure. Then when it changes, that's why, you know, the older generation gets so upset by the younger. They tend to challenge the older generation's views. Yes? Well, like I found just using things, sometimes I would just stop and say, okay, how is it right now? Just, you know, so just learning to, like in a monastic form, then you've got structure to work with, or you've got Buddha images and temple and things, the robes and all that helps to remind you, But then in a lay life, you don't have all that. But so you have to make up your own structures, finding things that will suddenly stop you, you know, from just being caught into the momentum of your habits. So, and then you can develop skillful means with the kind of life, you know, with the way what you have around you. The people that you're with, and so forth. So, just noticing, learning to just recognize how I'm feeling. You know, so suddenly I'm feeling anxious about something. So then, when I begin to awaken to that, then I stop and I kind of look at that. Just to recognize the feeling, or the kind of energetic feeling you know, this kind of mood. And not try to figure it out or judge it. Because then you're back into your character, you know, into your personality that, you know, makes value judgments. And just to recognize things for what they are more and trust that. So you're not adding to them, you're just merely stopping and recognizing it's like this. So, like today we had this Cambodian community, and so the room was so crowded and noisy. And then I noticed some monks didn't come to the meal because they just find it too much. Well, for me, I see it as a challenge, you know, to see that the situation is like this and to accept that. Then I can respond to it in a way, you know, that I enjoy it, because it's obviously a joyful occasion to have all these people here. And they're all here to give, you know, to give us food and requisites. So your relationship is more kind of, you can respond in a nice way to it, you know, really enjoy it, which to me is really appreciating what they're doing. And also recognizing their, you know, that like the Cambodian community do have this every year, you know, they've been through incredible traumas, you know, because of what's happened to Cambodia. So they have the, you know, remembering the dead, they have lists of, you know, some, all of these people, almost all their relatives were murdered, some horrible death in Cambodia. So that they have, you know, this is a very skillful thing that they're doing to remember this and that way of psychologically dealing with it. So, you know, it gives me delight to be able to support that. But then on a terms of, like, if I'm very, there's too much noise and too many people, I can't, then if I get into that state, then I stop and just kind of look at this, you know. I'm just reacting to it, you know. Once I stop reacting, then I can accept it. You know, it's not a real problem. It's just an emotional habit that maybe I feel upset when there's a lot of noise and a lot of people around. But I don't generally. One thing I like about India is all the craziness of all the people around me, all the noise. I quite like that, actually. Yes? Yeah, well, you know, to think that we can improve ourselves is, you know, that's, you know, that's another illusion that we can hold. So, like, if we're meditating to improve ourselves or make ourselves perfect, then that is something, you know, we'll never succeed at. Because our, you know, on the level of a conditioned world, we're, and put it in Catholic terms, we're sinners. I mean, we're at the imperfect conditions of body and emotions and that. They're so subject to change and being, you know, affected by conditions. And that's why, like I was saying, recognizing the common humanity that is of just having a human being, having a body, human body with consciousness and with a mind that thinks and retains memories and so forth, is like this. So that you're, you know, then if I think, well, if I am a sinner and I just have to accept this, I don't see a way out of it then. You know, I can kind of resign myself maybe to it. But in terms of what the Buddha's asking us to do is to recognize it and to see it in terms of purely for what it is, rather than the assuming I'm a sinner and that I can't help having these feelings or these reactions. So, you see what I mean? It's an attitude of learning to trust in awareness rather than in how things seem to be. Yeah. Try putting the Four Noble Truths using the word sin. There is sin, there is the origin, there is the cessation. It works, actually. Dukkha, or suffering, you know, or sin, or desire. You can substitute these kind of, they work in the same way. But then, you know, because the Christian way of teaching is it's theological, so you know, God and Christ, these are beliefs. So then in Christian meditation, you know, I don't know exactly how it works, but like they have these certain mantras and prayers that are quite good, you know. And recognizing sin and that I'm a sinner is humbling, you know. But also, something in me feels really irritated with that approach. You know, I find Christianity just kind of irritating me because they say things like that. So I can't really use it. Because I much prefer the Buddhist. It seems more direct, and it's what I've used, it's what I'm used to. Yes.
Watching it and letting it pass is impermanent. Now, I'm interested.
Yeah, well, then, like, abandon is like letting go, letting it be. So, like, I would interpret abandon more or less not getting rid of it, you know, like resisting, but recognizing, letting it be. So, say you're holding on to this unwholesome state, and then you suddenly realize, so you abandon it, you let it be, in other words. That's how I experience it. And then you can replace it with a positive state, or you can just, you know, if you have the awareness, then you can let it, just once you abandon it, then you can actually accept what's left of it, in terms of not grasping it, but it's still in your consciousness, a conscious experience. If you stay with that, just that energy that lingers until it ceases, then you have the insight into the Third Noble Truth, the cessation. So there, you know, there's that. There's different efforts, and sometimes just, you know, like to just develop wholesome mental states. But then, if one is doing that merely to suppress unwholesome ones, it ends up with the same problem, you know, still suffering. So it's much more like a gentle understanding of things and see and witnessing. And so, like in English, they translate the abandon, or even letting, when I use the words letting go, people many times assume I'm saying get rid of it, you know. So, like, I'm just saying, let go of this cup, so I don't have to throw it out the window. Just stop grasping it, you know, and it's still there. And so that's what I mean in terms of letting go, where sometimes people think I'm saying you've got to get rid of it, you know, let go of it, and like get trying to throw it out. Because the awareness has this embracing quality. So it's not approving or disapproving, it's recognizing. Well, then just be more aware of the desire to get rid of it, you know, because that's the real problem, you know, because that's a strong desire to get rid of something you don't want. So you think, well, I'll just be aware of it, and so but actually, you're using the idea of awareness to get rid of something, rather than allowing it to be what it is, or recognizing this desire, this vipavadanha, this desire to get rid of unpleasant feeling and state of mind. Yes? Well, just the attitude of allowing, you know. So like with intuitive awareness, and it's recognizing the feeling of sadness, and then if it, you know, just and if it lingers, then it's okay, but then you can do something else, you know. But it's more or less learning to trust your acceptance of something. So if things, if certain emotions have been repressed a lot, then they start coming up. It's really a purification. Well, then you're trying to get rid of it. So. It's like so I, you know, I would reflect, well, be sad forever is okay. Then things seem to go very quickly. Well, once I saw the problem, then I could, you know, I could, you know, then the karma, of course, is, you know, when conditions arise, I have this anger, and for, you know, early years, I wasn't always that aware, and I'd get, even though I'd had the insight, I'd get carried away, but then more and more as I kept using that, then the conditions that reinforce that fall away. You know, so it's, we begin to see the effect. The more the good result you have, then you have more determination to continue. Because in your life you're going to be challenged. You know, no matter how many years I've been a monk meditating, there's still certain things that happen that are going to challenge me. You know, and so then it's like, because this is our human state, you know, you're living in, and the karma of my life, you know, is has its effect. So you know, you to experience the loss of loved ones and disappointments and anxiety and fears around, threats around things, you know, that you find you're very attached to. Like you, monk, you get very attached to a monastery or a tradition and or a way of doing things, and then you, when it starts being changed and that, you feel very threatened. So I just use all of those in the, because the whole point is liberation rather than, you know, hanging on to even the best of the conventional world. Well, it's more like, it's like intuitive awareness, more aware on the energetic level, you know. So you're more in touch with a feeling or a mood. So this just learning to trust that, really, trust your awareness. Like if I feel threatened by something, then I can be aware of that feeling, because it, you know, if I stop thinking about it, or that, then I can be aware of just that lingering sense of threat or whatever. And as I kind of relax with that, accept that, then I, it, you know, really you can see it. It's very changing, and you know, it, you were giving it a chance to be what it is, and then its nature is to cease. So it's around emotions, especially, like emotional habits of reactions and things to that you're going to experience in, you know, in the world around you. So you're not, no matter how they seem, you know, and well, your personality will, you know, judge them according to how they seem. But your intuitive awareness doesn't judge. It just it knows it seems like this, but this is the way it is. You know, just this way, and it's taking that kind of little addition you might add through trying to give it a name even, or to describe it. So it's more, you're simplifying it down to just merely the reality of the moment. Does that help? I mean, it's learning to trust it. You know, it's nothing you can find. It's just it's like an imminent act. It's from, you know, only you know. And it's learning to recognize it. So my advice usually is to just before you go into any kind of strong emotions, but say in just a fair calm feeling, or you're not, you know, nothing strong going on, and then just kind of ask yourself, you know, this moment now, what is it like? And then just listen, kind of this sense of more opening and listening, not looking for anything in particular, but just this sense of receiving. Try to get a feeling for that, of just kind of receiving this. And where your thinking mind will start trying to make something out of it, but learning to trust more in this, just receiving, the sense of expansion and receiving, listening. And then things will, as you trust that more, then you begin to things do kind of really come up, you know, emotions come up. You have a wide kind of space to receive them in. So suddenly you find yourself preferring to be the space rather than attached to the condition. You know, if you don't have that, then you tend to just react to the emotion that comes up, and either grasping or rejecting. But the more you trust in the awareness, then you find your real identity. You don't have an identity, but your refuge is in this awareness. So it can receive things in which your relationship to them is then through a wisdom understanding rather than on some personal view of it. So, you know, you're actually liberating yourself from the habit of just identity and liking, disliking, and that we all have if we don't have this awareness. Like receiving, accepting, knowing, like right now, just accepting this moment as it is, and I'm aware that that this suction is going to pull me up through the roof. I've been aware of that all this time till just now. And I thought, well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can't. That can be helpful at first, but after a while, you don't need to do that because you know, and then it's more or less just trusting, and like say with anger or something like that. I know that as I've examined it and even analyzed it, I found it helpful, you know, in a way. But it wouldn't liberate until I just learned to trust in. And where I didn't need to feel I had to analyze it every time, just recognize it is enough. But at first, because, you know, it helps to just see how, you know, what things really upset me or what. And it's interesting to find out because you're born under a certain star or because, you know, you can take an interest in astrology or whatever, but at the end of the day, you let go of the whole thing and just trust in the awareness. But then also see the suffering you create when you say, oh, here it goes again, and that kind of thing, you know. Then even let go of that, you know, the kind of ways that we, you know, those are all quite negative states that one might have, you know, like you feel upset by this, and you know, oh, here I go again. And then you're making it more of it than what it is. So, or feeling terribly... hating yourself for getting angry and saying something bad to somebody and then really, you know, feeling awful about yourself and hating yourself, and it can linger. You know, I advise you to stop doing that, you know, rather than it doesn't help, doesn't resolve the problem. So, like, even if you do something, you know, you say something terrible and, you know, in anger, and then you know, if you can apologize and do that, but also the sense of this self-criticism, just stop doing it, and be more aware of just what the feeling is and trust that more. Because, you know, like self-aversion, and that, it doesn't work, it doesn't help. It just, you know, we just tend to create a sense of hopelessness in ourselves. And, oh, here I go again. And why do I have to be like this? And maybe, you know, maybe what we're, you know, we don't like a lot of things about ourselves. And maybe they aren't likable too, you know. So it's not asking you to like them, but it's the recognition of them is all that's really necessary. It's like this. And then you stop creating it into more than what it is. As soon as, oh, here I go, then it's more than what it is at that moment. You see, you've added something to it.
Acknowledging a situation that I've had and let go of it.
Well, that's the thing with because all you can resolve it all in here, you know, like so that even if you trust in your awareness more, then it, even if everything comes at you at once, you know, the awareness will allow that, and then you'll have a spontaneity to respond better to the existing conditions accordingly. Well, one suggestion is maybe to be more, do much more like body awareness. Yeah, but then be aware, just aware of the, of that, you know, just to letting it be, you know, learning to let even wanting to sleep but not being able to just letting it be like that. It's more of a sense of trust and acceptance, even of what you don't want to accept. You know, well, it's an attitude more, in which you're learning to open and trust rather than, you know, letting the conditions kind of just cause these reactions and physical tensions. But it takes patience and this is something to develop. But the attitude really is the important thing. And even though just to remind yourself more and trust more, then you'll find, you know, that you can, you know, these reactions to life and the tensions we create in the body, then we're no longer reinforcing the conditions for those to repeat themselves. As you. Well, like the awareness is moving into just pure, into a purity. It's a more universal thing. So it's a universal state of being. So then it's very simple, you know, so that then one is more, say, sees the result of the karma, the karmic result in the present, more from that position. So you, rather than becoming more complicated, you're resting in something very simple, very strong as you trust it in just awareness. It's like this where moment then is that when I really trust it, then transcending the conditioned realm, you know, it's they call the gate to the deathless. But it doesn't seem like anything in terms of the thinking mind. It's when you're trying to figure it out or think about it, it doesn't seem like anything at all. That's why it is just a recognition of it. So then that will, you know, then that will bring you to this simplicity. that can receive the complexities of your karmic inheritance. But if you, you know, if you want to change yourself or get rid of things, then that, those things tend to make it more complicated.
So,
but also you have to know your boundaries, you know, so you're not just, you know, because you might make a grand gesture of just receiving everything and you're not ready for that yet. So this is where, like, to recognize your limits, you know, as a person, as a human individual, you know, what limits you can stand and, you know, where you want to put your boundaries and then and just to be more, recognize that so that you can work from there. Because on the ideal level, you know, you might really like to include everything in the universe, but we have to work within the limits of that, you know, that we find the reality, you know, the recognition of those limits. Yeah. Right, well, that's where to develop, you know, to avoid those kind of situations as much as possible. That, to avoid situations where, you know, that happens. So, and then to just, and then if you can't avoid them, then just do the best you can, you know, so you're not, because you need, you know, in some ways one needs a protection so that you're not just, you know, taking on more than you can, you know, you're capable of doing. But this is where like having a discipline and a way of living that supports your particular karma, and then avoiding, you know, situations that you don't feel ready to handle yet, or that tend to overwhelm or just create endless, you know, despair or frustration for you. But then if you get into controlling too much, you become frightened. So your attitude is more just towards recognizing this, trying to stay within the boundaries, but then there will be times where you can't, then you just learn from that. You know, like being a monk has puts a boundary that you can work in. You know, that's much more easy for, because you've got very clear boundaries to work in that are traditional boundaries. You know, they're not like I'm making them up. They're living in a community where they all try to live within that structure. So then it does create a communal sense of that supportive, where in the marketplace it would be more difficult. What you said, to be body awareness, so you're touching earth more, you know, dealing with just the coarser level of this physicality and nature is helpful, being with, you know, with trees and water, things like this help, so that it kind of brings you in touch with the earth, and that's very necessary, because otherwise you can just spin out too much on the mental plane. I found a lot of bodily awareness very necessary. You be aware of the body and mindfulness of the body in its sitting, standing, walking, lying down postures, and being aware of the breath, that kind of thing, keeps you present. But also because the body is an earthy thing, you know, it's made out of the earth, so it'll bring you down to touching earth and help to give you that stability that you need to handle the mental or psychic or emotional conditions. Things like Tai Chi and whatnot are helpful, yoga, because they're kind of really bringing you into the limitations of your body.
Structure, and then the response, the earth responds to you.
put it in Buddhist terms, it's karma. Yes?
If we search in the teachings, are they not, is there not a way there for each one of us to find out what is not bad for us? Is that not the way forward? Find out, each one of us to find out the way that is not bad for us.
Yeah, it's too. Like discerning, I like the terminology is like with awareness. Then your discerning faculties are sharp, not your critical faculties. So though then the discerning then is a wisdom faculty. You know, you can see what brings peace or pleasure or happiness. What brings suffering or confusion. So, you know, and then you can consider, you know, if I do this or that, then I, you know, I just get overwhelmed, or if I do this, I feel peaceful. So then, from that discernment, then the wisdom faculty is also operating to guide you. You know, so what is the result, you know, of action and speech and thought? So, like I know that if I worry about something, I know then that is, you know, I can see that worry, and then you know, if I keep attaching and keep developing worry, then it just escalates, and I suffer all the time because it's unpleasant mental state. Then if I just try not to worry out of just willful suppression, then it tends to, you know, not work either. You know, so just because, you know, you can distract yourself and then get away from things and they kind of rebound back. But then once I begin to recognize worry and discern it, and then the discerning ability, then it's, I'm seeing it in terms of what it is, and then I'm going to let it go, let it be what it is, and then I can see the way of not worrying. So after all, you get confident in not worrying, where before, say, my personality is very much conditioned to think I'm not being responsible unless I'm worrying about something. And there's between being concerned and caring and worrying. You know, these are levels of thought. That, you know, to be concerned is one thing, and care, and then when it gets into worry, and then it becomes counterproductive. It just destroys the quality of your life. Yes?
Can you tell me that exactly? I'll be pretty
Well, like with the Vietnamese monk that immolated himself, then I could see that, you know, he obviously had a high level of concentration, because, I mean, when he, you know, the it's a newsreel, you know, so he's sitting, you can see him sitting on the, in the street, and then the flames burning him, and he's sitting in perfect samadhi style, you know, he's not going crazy or anything. And so obviously, it was, you know, I would trust that he was doing it as a protest, not to cause, but to help the Buddhists of Vietnam. You know, it was a sacrifice and a way of bringing attention. I don't know whether it, you know, how effective it was in terms of helping, but it certainly left a strong impression on the world. And so I would say that his intention wasn't cruel or destructive only of himself, and he was willing to sacrifice that. And then where the suicide bombers, you know, their intention is to harm as many people as you can. And that seems to me very, you know, very bad, really, to use your life to destroy others intentionally. But then, you know, in the level of protest, I can understand why they do it, but, you know, on the human level. But in terms of karma, I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't do it. But you know, and I wouldn't immolate myself either, because I would rather protest in other ways. I'm not quite ready for that one. An intention also is, you know, like we, you know, we can make our intentions quite good. So my intention, say, is to be free from suffering and to be of use to others. May my life be of use for, useful to others. That's a very high intention. Then. And I make that rationally. It's not emotional. It's just a very, from a very rational place, because you can make, you know, your rational mind can conceive of being very altruistic and high. So I use that, and then that helps to. That's my intention. So that's my direction, like the guiding star. And then I move in that direction. Then things get in the way. But then it's more like, then you have to keep your this awareness, so you're aware of what's in front of you, and you're keeping your direction at the same time. So like various obstructions will arise, or very, you know, pits with snakes in them will appear, and suddenly, you know, you've got to find out how to get across or around, but keep your direction. And that's more to the immediate situation, you know. So even, you know, you find yourself having to trust your intuitive response to definite situations, which may even seem going against your intention. Now, this is where it is a matter of trusting in the awareness and response to the existing conditions. Yes? Well, like, it's not knowing any suicide bombers, I can't really speak for them, but I mean, it's... I know in the West sometimes they're too, you know, like they like George Bush, and that calls them evil and, you know, completely heartless rejection of them as being terrorists and evil forces. And yet, I don't feel that. I feel maybe they're deluded, but also, you know, in some ways, you know, I've never been in a situation like they have where you've grown up in shoddy refugee camps and you've always been kind of treated badly and never given much of a chance. So then you tend to, you know, you've got this anger, and then if there's no way of bringing attention, then you start doing things, you know, like throwing a tantrum, like a child would throw a tantrum. Just to get attention, or sometimes you have to do something violent to make people, you know. But the thing is, it is not really working, you know. You can see that this whole thing just gets worse and worse. So they're not learning from it at all. But they, you know, being a Buddhist, it's very important not to intentionally kill others. To me, that's a priority. Sometimes our lives can't help, but you know, our existence is bound to affect lives of others in some way, but in deleterious ways. That's not my intention, is to harm. You know, so like some of the Jains in India, they wear masks and they sweep the streets before they go and things like this, and that's a kind of incredibly impressive thing to be doing. Spend your life, you know, trying to save the lives of bacteria and ants and things like that. But to me, it's a bit over the top, because just recognizing the human existence, you know, our presence, my presence here on this planet is definitely involved with going to be affecting the things around me and can harm others, other creatures, but that's not the intention I have for my life. So it creates, you know, I get this sense of, well, I'm not going to intentionally kill them, but sometimes it happens, and then I just, you know, that's not the intention. Yeah. Yeah, it's like getting back to karma. It's the vipaka karma, the resultant karma of my life is right now. This is it. You know, sitting here in this chair talking to you, Mike, and whatever is going on is the result of my life so far. The conditions of this moment. So it's recognizing that, and then conditions change. And if, you know, like I found, you know, being head of a community where you affect people, you know, in ways that sometimes surprise me. So, you know, that's not my intention to do that. So like with short people sometimes, they feel very threatened by me because I'm so big. Well, there's no intention to threaten them, you know. I can't take responsibility for that, you know. If I'm going up to them, you know, like this, then that my intention might be to frighten them, and that would be wrong. You know, I'd apologize for that. I can't. I'm so sorry. I'm so big because I know it threatens you. I'm sorry to be alive. Well, it's just be aware of the uncertainty, really. Just open to that, not knowing and not being, and then probably you'll do the right thing. And if you're too fixed, well, I've got to challenge this, and I'm going into this situation because I'm threatened by it, and I'm frightened, and I'm challenged this, then you can get it all wrong too, you know, because you're not, it might be very brave, but it might also create more problems. So I found that's where, like, learning to recognize more this sense of being uncertain and letting it be that way. And then something, then how you respond is usually the right thing to do. So it's more learning to trust yourself more without trying to, have clear answers to every question and or have a fixed view of what you've got to do all the time, you know. And sometimes we can really be hard on ourselves because we feel I can't be a coward. I've got a challenge, and then we make that a cause célèbre, and we can make our lives utterly miserable just through holding to even a very good idea. But it's I trust in this more than taking on, you know, trying to conquer my fear and do things that. Without fully appreciating how I'm actually feeling, you know, and recognizing that, because I can, you know, I can suppress the feeling just through willfully doing it and getting myself involved in something that I'm not ready for, out of just willfulness, then regret that. Have you found that good? Well, I think my body's having uncomfortable feelings. One last question. Well, the world is very intimidating, you know. This is where you have to just trust yourself, you know, what is really, you know, how, you know, because the, you know, to be more just aware of the dilemma there. But then I do what I felt is the right thing to do. Well, it's so dependent on, you know, conditions, on individual conditions. So, you know, like responsibilities and things like this in, that one might have in family and whatnot, you got to take into account. But, you know, like generally life is short, you know. and you don't know when one is going to die. So I don't, you know, I wouldn't put off the.
Pardon? Six or possibly seven words. That life is uncertain. Isn't that one?
Yeah, that's a good reflection. And then we create, we're trying to get certainty. And should I do this or that? And then the wanting that certainty, the desire for something that's impossible, really. So it's not like real meditation is opening to uncertainty. Insecure, not knowing, uncertainty, emptiness, the things that are really frightening to people, you know, that live in a society where they want guarantees and signed contracts and certitude all the time. So, like, conditioning, my mental conditioning, my want certainty, want security, and then that's how the, because I'm from a society that's the ultimate, you know, to have guarantees, but when you reflect, well, basically life is uncertain. Isn't that marvelous? And it changes from, it's frightening to, you know, you begin to experience the wonder of it rather than the demand for false certitude and affirmations that are merely kind of delusions that from an ignorant society. So, the next one is gratitude to parents.